I still get people reaching out to me about, you know, what I should do to get in cybersecurity. Do I need this search? Should I do this? Should I go to school? Do I need all these things? And speaking of that, I just thought of something that I need to add in the slide that I'll touch on, and I'll go back and add it. But so I figured I'd do this towards the end of the year, go live, and probably give you guys some time for questions at the end. So if you have questions, you can ask them in the chat. I'll get to them towards the end. I just want to get through the presentation for everybody. Appreciate it. Yeah, man. So I got the shirt when I was in Afrotech. I got it from Palo Alto. Got it from Palo Alto. Palo Alto gave these shirts out. And I knew I was going to wear it on a stream one day. So I figured this would be a good stream to wear it on. But yeah, man, let's get into, what is this? Let me see. Y'all bear with me just a little bit real quick. That's cool. Yo, what's going on, Kev Tech, man? Here we go. Boom. All right, cool. That stream y'all made this super easy. All right, give me a second. It's processing in the back. There we go. Let's see. That's a stream. All right, perfect. So check it out, guys. So I made simple, sweet, how to get into cybersecurity in 2023. Let's get it. So what is cybersecurity? Now, my easy definition of it is keeping organizations' information safe from criminals, negligent employees, insider threats, natural disasters, etc. It can go as deep as some people want it to get. I went on Cisco's site. I just did a type, you know, hey, what's cybersecurity? And Cisco defines it as the practice of protecting systems, networks, and programs from digital attacks. These cyber attacks are usually aimed at assessing, changing, or destroying sensitive information, extorting money from users via ransomware, or interrupting normal business processes. And that last line in there is the reason why cybersecurity professionals tend to get paid a lot. Just because it's a lot at risk if they don't do their job perfectly. Well, not perfectly, but they don't do their job well. There's a lot at risk for that. So that's why you get to pay the big bucks. But it's a pro and con of that. If something happened, like we just seen recently with Okta and LastPass, all these different breaches out here, you know, you could be on the chopping block. And sometimes it might not be your fault. Sometimes top level approach, upper management didn't heed to the warnings that the guys on the bottom gave them. And therefore, everybody has to suffer because not only you got to deal with going through the breach, but that personal brand, that reputation is hard to come back from. Personal experience was when I worked at Target in retail, that's almost 10 years ago. I was working there when that Target breach happened. And I saw in real time, people did not want to scan their cars at Target because they saw a breach happen at a retailer that they went to every day. And it took a lot of time for Target to really show people that they're serious about their cybersecurity and they're, you know, trying to build it back up for everyone to be safe and their information to be safe when they shop there. But let's keep on going. So I just covered briefly some of like the teams. You got blue team, red team, purple team. And I'm not going to read everything on here, but blue team is more defense, like I did my roles, incident response, SOC analyst, threat analyst. There are a couple other roles that could fit in blue team. And then red team, of course, you're going to the offense, the hackers, penetration testers. You got people that do a physical security type of penetration test as well. And then you got purple team. It's like the hybrid of both. Like they know how to do red team and blue team stuff, and that helps them make custom solutions for that environment. And so I put some of the roles right here. So like I said, SOC analyst, incident response, a platform engineer, which in our SOC were the people who were providing services to platforms. Like we had a CrowdStrike, we had Tanium, McAfee EPO, we had Splunk, Tripwire, Imperva, things like that. They were the engineers of those. And I put for purple team, detection and engineering, and I already said penetration tester, ethical hacker. Now, GRC, governance, risk, and compliance, is a broad term that refers to processes and frameworks that organizations use to manage its overall governance, risk, and management compliance with relevant laws and regulations. It is not necessarily tied to the blue team in cybersecurity, as the blue team is typically focused specifically on defense against cyber threats. Instead, GRC is a broader concept that encompasses a range of activities related to an organization's overall governance and risk management, It may include aspects of cybersecurity, but it's not limited to that specific domain. And I'd have to agree right now, my current role is more along the lines of something that is in the GRC space. And for the most part, it's not necessarily, I mean, it's based on some risks and some cybersecurity functions, but it's based on some other things. It's got networking in there. You've got to deal with data, processes, different lines of business we have in the company. So they're right. It's not necessarily always just tied to cybersecurity, but it encompasses that, and it's a major function of it. As a matter of fact, it's one of the more important things that actually helps your organization stay secure that people tend to not talk about. Most of the time, anytime somebody's gotten breaches because of some credentials, or someone have a bad process of having some credentials hard-coded somewhere, someone exploited something, now they have access to things, and now they're extracting data because they got access based on bad principles. And those are just fundamental things. It's not even super technical. That's something that someone has to come in, audit, and check out and say, hey, this shouldn't be here. This is a red flag. It's like if somebody could stick any key that they had in your door and open it. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's keep going. All right, so here's like the diagram, the government risk and compliance. You see how they intertwine with each other. And now some of the roles, like I've talked to people in the past, and they've always said, oh, I want to be a security analyst. And I always say security analyst is a broad term because it could be a security analyst under different functions. So there are like GRC security analysts, or sometimes you hear the term information security analysts. I put anything like IT auditors, IT compliance, GRC analysts, identity and access management is really its own function in its whole, but would fit under governance, risk, and compliance because it's also part of cybersecurity, but it's a part of different things of also making sure who can access what, restricting access, privileged access accounts, you name it, and risk management. So let's get past that. I'm not going to keep on going on all these different terms. Now, when it comes to finding your role, I like to use these two sites, and we're going to actually look at them really quickly. And I need to find some better sites because I looked at these recently, and they didn't really give me what I needed. So one second. Oops. All right, I know what to do. Give me one second, and I will open these in the background. CyberSeek right here. And let me see if I can get this one. Shoot, man. How y'all been doing, though? I'm just going to go to CyberSeek, and I'll probably do career pathways later. All right. Where are we at? All right. Let's present some else. Let's share a screen. All right. So here's CyberSeek right here. And let's see if we can click on the career pathway function. All right. So they kind of do this really high level, like, and I need to find my the other one, the career one, because it's a little bit more detailed. So it's going to say this feeding role, networking, software development, system engineering. I can't really say these are feeder roles. Maybe IT support, because it can go different ways. It can introduce you to a lot of things. But some of these are their own things in itself, like cybersecurity specialists. I don't consider that really be entry level, because what is a specialist? Like, that's just a vague term. Same thing with these. You can be an analyst doing different things, consultant, and vulnerability tester. But this can give you, you know, a way to look at certain roles that, you know, you didn't know about. Let's look what they say about skills and certifications. So this is cool. This is, I will say this is still informational. Does help you understand that top skills. So this is dope. And we'll get in more in the skills section in a minute. Let me actually find this thing for you guys, because I want to, here it is. Let me see something. Okay, cool. Let me go back here, see if y'all still with me. All right, dope. All right, y'all still with me. So This one is a little bit better, right? So it's showing you the cyber workforce, IT, cybersecurity, cyberfix, intel, cyber intelligence, all these things that's across functional, right? Let's go with IT. Let's see if I think they have like support or something on here. I think I could type it in. Technical support specialist, right? So this tells you exactly a little bit what you do. I like this one much better. It's in my ebook as well. If you want to see my ebook, I kind of recommend this because I use this as well to show people like their skill set what they can do. So everyone knows what a technical support specialist does. You provide technical support to customers who need assistance. And these are some of the titles. Let's see. Now look, TAS is a big one, right? This is a way, if you don't know if you're really doing something at work, come here. Look at the roles, look at the tasks, add these to your resume. So install, maintain network infrastructure. I'm not going to go through all these. But it also shows you some of the roles you can do. You got network operations specialist. You can go sysadmin, system tester, knowledge manager, database administrator. So this is just one of those cool roles that shows you this. And then you can also do, let's see what we want right here. Because it's doing IT. Let's do see what system security analyst gives us. So it says these are some of the roles that you can branch off to: cyber defense, security architect. So this would be, I say this would be more aligned to like a blue team line as well. Yeah. So let's see. This is pretty much what will help you out if you want to look at some of the skill sets you have. And I do a different way too when I'm doing the consultations. I actually ask you, hey, let me stop sharing. I typically ask people, hey, what do you do, you know, on your day-to-day? And as they tell me what they do day-to-day, that's when I start breaking down what I think they'll be good at. So let's get back into this. All right. We already looked at those two things. So now, we found some roles, right? And so I always tell people, you can go use YouTube. YouTube is big as this. Hey, let's look at some day in the life videos. This will tell you if you'd be interested, if you wouldn't be. Then after that, you can use LinkedIn to search for people for that same title to ask them about their positions. And you can also research job descriptions to learn what you need to learn to do the role. So we're going to do two things, right? I'm going to show you very quickly on how I would use LinkedIn if I want to be a SOC analyst. Then we're going to go to a job description of a role I found earlier. Actually, let me pull that up. That way you guys don't got to wait on me again. Perfect. All right. So first things first, let's go to I appreciate that, KF, man. YouTube, man. Dope. We definitely got some good stuff we got coming up next year, especially with your transition. So I really do appreciate that. All right. So first, guys, let's look at this. LinkedIn is big. So this is, you actually guys getting to see a lot of some of the stuff I got on here, but if I want to be a SOC analyst, right? And you see some of the searches I was doing because I was doing some of this stuff to help you guys out. If I wanted to see who's a SOC analyst, I come right here. And I can fixate it on people instead of jobs. Then boom, 21,000 results. So I could go through a list of these people. And I could connect with them. Typically, I try to look for people that smile and they look friendly. And like, for example, I could just hit connect right here. And I can add a note. And then I can say, hey, my name is Andre Davis. I'm interested in learning to be a SOC analyst. You know, I would love to connect with you. And everyone's not going to answer that, right? But if they do, then that helps you out even more. So that's just one of the easy ways to do it. And now let me go to this job I found, right? So we want to talk about cool, we want to be a SOC analyst. What are the skills we need to learn? Let's talk about it. So I saw this job earlier and I looked at it and it looked pretty entry level to me. Boom. All right. So what you'll do, cybersecurity operations analyst is responsible for safeguarding information system assets by identifying and solving potential and actual security problems to ensure the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of IT resources and their associated data. That's CIA. They talk about that all the time at Security Plus. All right, so we need to know about the location. Let's look at some more stuff. They want you to know how to do this. Analyze and track the cyber threat landscape, including identifying and investigating cyber threat actors and their activities to enhance cybersecurity posture, perform security monitoring, security event triage, and incident response using SIEM and CASB solutions. Analyze alert patterns to provide recommendations for policy improvement. Create content, queries, dashboard reports, etc., and security tools like Splunk, SIEM, Netskope, and DLP and others. And look, this is, all right, so this is the key right here, right? We're going to talk about a little bit later about resumes and projects, but this is giving you a hint on a project or type of projects that you could do. Now, this is some of your day-to-day stuff you do. Respond daily to security incidents following established incident response methodology. Identify, monitor, and present data points, which includes all daily dashboards, metrics, and reporting. And the list goes on. But it's giving you framework of what you'll be doing and kind of some of the things you need to understand. Now, here's like the requirements. You'll have a bachelor's degree, which you can get past. I don't think you really need a bachelor's for this. This is a bigger thing. 1 or 2 years of work experience in security operations, threat intelligence, or incident response. Hands-on with Splunk Enterprise Security, and you need help learning Splunk. Give my guy Kenneth Ellington, Ellington Cyber Academy. He is help teaching Splunk and SOAR. So he definitely get with him. Let's see what else we got. Extensive knowledges and 2 or more file security queues, SIEM, CASB, Advanced DLP, SOAR, EDR, Email Gateway, Enterprise System. So, okay, let's freeze it right here. Now, you might be looking at this right now, a total newbie and doesn't know what this stuff is. That's when you take this stuff down and you start researching, you know, what is a SIEM? What is CASB? You know, what is DLP? What is SOAR? That's how you start researching things and you build out some of the skills that you want to learn. Understand TCP IP networking, such as DNS, SMTP, DHCP. And this is kind of self-culturized, inclusive, adapting to your style, situation, diverse global norms. Blah, blah, blah. Now, I gave you the pay range, $60,000 to $128,000. So this is what I would consider still be the entry-level role in cybersecurity. And I don't, and I'll also tell you, like, looking at this, it's not as hard as it may look. This is just verbiage that they're giving you that they always put on these job descriptions. But understanding a little bit of this and then knowing some of these things will make you much a remarkable person. So if you were applied to some of these roles and you didn't have any of stuff on your resume, you're probably not going to get called back because you don't have the certain skills that they're looking for. And that's the thing I touched on as well, as I worked with so many people over the last 2 years. Okay, let me stop sharing real quick. Yeah, GM Slim, this video, it'll be up later. I'm not taking it down. I'm going to actually probably refine it a little bit and put it out somewhere else. All right, so here we go. How to learn the skills. Once you find the skills you need to learn, you need to find platforms you can learn the skills. And I've used these. So TryHackMe, TCM. TCM has a lot of good courses out there. Cloud Academy, LinkedIn Learning, of course. And hey, course careers, you know, brief course careers. Right now, guys, hey, if you want to do tech sales or you want to get entry-level IT career started, check out Course Careers. I have the link pinned into the chat. You can use my coupon code to get $50 off. Amazing IT course done by Josh Matacore. If you're familiar with him on YouTube, amazing course done by him. He has testimonials on his channel about the people who've used the course and gotten the job fairly quickly in IT. And he teaches you cloud fundamentals as well. So you won't just be limited to like you think you're just doing something easy. So I would say check that out, please. And give me 1 second.
I forgot that.
All right, y'all, I'm back. I got a docket station and stuff behind me, so I don't normally have my charger for my MacBook out. And then I looked at my battery and said, hold on, I need to charge this thing before it go dead. I would have been pissed off. I know y'all would have been pissed off too. But yeah, if you're really thinking about starting an IT career, man, check out Course Careers, man. Dope stuff. Or tech sales. Like, if you want to pivot into a high-paying role that takes a lot of transferable skills that you can benefit and have a huge, tremendous upside, starting off making $70,000, $80,000, check out tech sales. You know, you've seen I'm Just Cyrus from Texas New Black, my guy Antoine Wade over there at Black Heights, and it's a couple of other people that are really been killing it in tech sales. If you don't believe me, go check out their channels and listen to them talk about the money they make, and you're like, okay, I want to do tech sales. But let's go back home. You got Pluralsight. Let's go. All right. So here's a big topic of discussion, right? People always ask me, hey, what certifications I need or what should I get? And now I typically tell them, hey, when you're reaching out to me asking how you get into cybersecurity, certifications really is kind of the wrong thing to ask. It's more so what skills do I need to land a job I want to do. However, if you do want certifications just to have a baseline understanding and fundamental that, I always suggest Security Plus, AWS Cloud Practitioner, AZ900. And then I also tell you sometimes to get maybe CCNA Network Plus, right? Now, anything else would be contingent on what you want to do. Like if you needed some more skills and you wanted to get in the SOC role, right? I would also say, hey, I would get Security Plus and I would do Blue Team Level 1. Because Blue Team Level 1 is a practical exam that's going to actually give you hands-on skills on how to perform in a SOC environment. Because I've been, and I have some reviews lately, like I've been doing some of the Blue Team stuff on TryHackMe. And though I think it's good, it's one way to learn, I don't think it's like the way that's going to just help you be prepared to step in to be a SOC analyst. But that's just me right now. But that also comes from a person who was doing this stuff a different way. So trying to do it that way clashes with what I normally want to do. But I still think it's a good tool. But these will be the basic ones I would tell you to get up, start with. Like sometimes I have friends, like if I'm trying to tell them going to GRC, I say, okay, cool. Do Jared Osler's course. And if you already have like a banking background and you want to do auditing, I say, hey, go get your CISA. Because that's going to be on probably 99% GRC roles, especially if you're looking for stuff to do auditing. So definitely check those out, but do not get cert heavy, because getting cert heavy tends to not help you when it comes to getting interviewed. If you got all these certs, people who are kind of like some pricks, they are going to probably drill you and try to say, okay, well, they have all these certifications, so they should know all this stuff. They should be experts. That's how some people view it, because they feel like they may perceive you a different way. But if you have a couple of certs, but you have the skills needed, I think your interview is going to go much smoother and better. And then while we're on this topic, because I remember earlier I didn't mention school. School too. School is nuanced, right? Do you have to get a degree to get in cybersecurity? No. Let me do this so you guys can see me. I know you guys want to see me real quick. Do you need a degree to get into cybersecurity? You don't need a degree to get into cybersecurity. However, it can benefit you in your career in the long run. But it also could be expensive. So you got to do your pros and cons here. If you're going to go into school to do cybersecurity, please check out the curriculum. If you're not sure of the curriculum, I've had people reach out to me about curriculums and I've said, you know, I like it or I don't like it, because you want to make sure you're learning skills that will translate over to you in the workforce. You don't want to get a curriculum with a whole bunch of outdated classes that's not going to benefit you when it comes to try to get internships and try to get jobs, because that's what the goal is. If you're in school, get an internship so you can land a full-time job. So you want to make sure you're learning relevant skills. And research price points. WGU is a good one. A lot of people going to WGU. I saw Georgia Tech had a really good priced, I know it's a master's program in cybersecurity, but their bachelor's probably is priced very well as well as competitive. So do that. Also, free gym for me is always saying, hey, let your first job or something pay for your schooling, right? Just go through there. If you get to a job you like and they kind of let you move around and then they also pay a good amount to reimburse for schooling, do it there, you know? Slow and steady. That's where I put it. I mean, we see they still aren't canceling loans. They aren't making schools slow down with their tuition. So just be smart, because you will have to pay the money back, or somebody gonna have to pay it back. And I could tell you now, as a person who's probably gonna have to do that next year, unless something drastically happens, I would much rather not to, because I only went to school because I didn't have anybody like me to give me some guidance, nor that was the only thing that pushed coming out of school, what, 12 years ago? Or much longer than that. I don't know, man. It's been a while since I've been out of school. Yeah, Crypto Pactic, that's the fan of school. I've used it. I used this the fan before. I wasn't the biggest fan of it because the interface that you use is not something that you would necessarily use anywhere else. So that's why I wasn't that big of a fan of it. I maybe need to revisit it again, but I like some of the questions and how they kind of wanted people to do things on there. So I'll probably revisit it again. I typically was using TryHackMe because it has access. Like, for example, everyone knows like Splunk's Boss of the Sock stuff has that data set and where you can just learn to actually play with Splunk. So, but now let's get back into this. All right. So here, so boom, earlier, y'all know we were talking about projects. So let me see if I still got that. Oops. Let me see if I still got the thing open. All right, I do. So let me share my screen real quick so we can go back to something. All right. So we're talking about projects, right? And I'm going to get off this soon. Where was I at earlier? I said some of my queries. All right, boom. Create content, queries, dashboards, reports. So stop sharing. Here are some examples of that, right? Setting up a SIM, ingesting logs, correlation searches. If you have those projects on your resume, you're going to look good. So what you need to do is the skills that you learn them one by one. Then you bring the skills together to make your project. So you start learning about Windows. You start learning about Linux. Then you start learning about SIMs, right? And now you can do it all simultaneously. Like, that's why I also shout out to Josh Medical again. He has a lab using Microsoft Sentinel. And it's pretty much you're going to set up a virtual environment. You're going to let attackers attack it when you open your firewalls, take your firewalls down. And you're going to use an API to see where did the attacks come from. And you're going to map them out. But that's a good project because that's a starting point. Then you can go from there. Okay, boom. Hey, let me try to make some more content with KQL things. Let me see what else I can do with Sentinel. Let me add some threat feeds in here. Let me go make some correlation searches mapping to MITRE, right? These are the things that people who are trying to break in aren't doing. They're normally doing the same type of projects, or they're saying, oh, I've seen this before, and it's not a knock on anybody because they don't know, but I've seen people come in and say, oh, I did, you know, TryHackMe, and they have those rooms or something they did on there. And that's fine, but that's not on any job description. No job description is asking for somebody to be the top 5% of TryHackMe. Because all you really have to do is just stay on there and use it every day to be in the top percentile. It doesn't mean you're the best. So that's what I would say. You know, if I was interviewing, like somebody wanted to be a SOC analyst and they came in and say, yeah, I learned these skills. I downloaded Splunk. I've used, you know, these different tools. And I wrote these correlation searches like in my own home lab to come up with some of the recent attacks that we've seen like in the news. And so I can figure out, hey, if this person is exfiltrating data or something like that. But if they're having creative projects, that's a person that I would want on the team because they're self-motivated and they're doing something to stand out. So that's a key, standing out, do projects to stand out. And it's not going to be easy, man. It's not going to be easy. Like I said, researching malware. I have a course from TCM malware analysis. So that's your starting point. You learn how to do malware analysis. Then, okay, boom. Now you have a lab that you've got just from setting up that, using going through that course. Now found some other samples of malware, download them, research them, what they do, write about them, and talk about them in an interview. Hey, yeah, I researched like 50 different malware samples, and they, you know, either all have this in common or they typically do this. This is the trend I start to see when I'm researching malware. So this is just different things. Threat intelligence, learning how to write, staying up with current events, looking at threat actors, writing your own things. And we'll get into the branding yourself portion in a second, but doing those things are ways to make you stand out. And I'm not going to say they're going to help you get every job, but you'll be surprised. People will be happy to see, okay, you're really taking this seriously. So let's go to the next one. Branding yourself. So getting a job in itself is a marketing process, right? They trying to see if you're a good fit. You're also interviewing them. And you try to show your best self and your best skills to show that you're the ideal candidate. So how many people in here have you ever used Tinder, any type of Bumble, SoulSwipe, any of those dating profiles, right? Most of the time, now, whether they are capping or not, but their profiles are made up in a way to entice you to swipe right. So you should do the same thing with your online presence, right? So when it comes to LinkedIn, having a good picture, having a good banner, having good headlines, having good posts on there, having at least about 500 connections, interacting with people in the cybersecurity community, knowledgeable comments on their post, your breakdown of things that you've seen happen. Like I was just talking about earlier with some of these attacks, like I posted about, I had people saying different things about Okta when Okta, you know, got breached again. LastPass, your own takes on that are huge. And so you could do some of this by, and I'm gonna give you another gem in a second. Blogging, whether it be Medium, LinkedIn, creating your own website and blog, posting videos and pictures of your work, being consistent on LinkedIn. Now, here's why I'm a big stickler for the blogging portion. If you're actively blogging on new skills and things that you're learning, if you're a new person learning to be technical, it's going to make it easier for you to talk about these things in the interview. And you'll be able to do it from your standpoint and you'll get be comfortable with it because you'll actually remember because you wrote it down. The hardest part I think I see for people when it comes to interviewing is like relaying the stuff that they learn over in a confident manner when it comes to interviewing. So do some of those things to help you stay on track and brand yourself. You'd be surprised, like, what about you is going to make you stand out over the next person? What are you showing? What type of person do they think they're getting? Because, you know, they have to guess a lot if they don't see a big online presence from you. I mean, that's just honest. That's even me if I don't see somebody has something. Nah, Elise, you didn't miss the good info. you're already a pro anyway. But all right, so networking. This is like the big thing I always say to everybody. It's like if you're a boxing fan, Deontay Wilder's right hand. He couldn't box that good, but if he hit you with it, you was going to go down. In this entry level job search, you're going to be going against some people that might be more technical than you because they've been working on this stuff longer. Or you're going to go against people who've been laid off somewhere and they're trying to get another role. And it's one of those things that we've been talking about, this, all these jobs is available in cybersecurity or these skills gaps, Lee. I think the most competitive is entry level because everybody's trying to get the entry level roles. The sweet spot is senior. It's not a lot of senior level professionals in cybersecurity. Therefore, their options are more. And therefore, that's why you see me at the senior level people, they may get laid off or something if they do, but they end up finding something fairly quickly. I know that since I've been senior level, I found jobs way faster than when I was laid off years ago, how hard it was to find another role. But that was just me knowing this. But the networking part, like, we already touched on it a little bit about engaging with people in the cybersecurity world and commenting on things and connecting with them on LinkedIn. Like I said, one way is to find people that the roles that you want to do and befriend them. And if they like you enough and they take an interest in you, who knows? They might refer you to a role on their team. That's one of those things. It's like, I had this stat in my ebook. I think it said like 70% of roles or don't even get posted. They're either filled internally or somewhere where someone they know. And I did this plenty of times. I did this recent interviews saying, oh, y'all looking for this? I know a person that can do that. I know a person that can do this. That's how it happens. That's why it's important for people to know you. It's not what you know, but who knows you. And I got that from Lab Every Day, aka DeJuan Lightfoot. Shout out to him. That's one of the important things. And I'm gonna actually go to my LinkedIn really quick so I can show you some of the things. Or you can see people actually engaging with me. That's actually benefited them. Let's do this real quick. Let's look at all my activity. Posts. All right. Let me share my screen real quick. Let's go to me real quick. All right, boom. Here we go. All right, so my stuff is a little different because I am also marketing my services as well. But for example, something like this, right? I get these. So in my Slack space, I have a thing called security dash news that stuff like this comes all the time. And I'll either summarize it or I'll copy something out there and put it on here and people come through and look at it. Shout out to my guy E, man. This, and so E is a good example of a senior level person that's also been really starting to be very consistent on marketing himself and his skill set of being a security researcher, being a detection engineer. So this is why that's important. No matter what level you are, you have to do this. Let's see. That got a lot of impressions. Okay, so this one, look. 10,000 impressions, got like 16 comments. And I should go like where, let me show you an example where I was a person commenting on something and they said something to me. Let's see. Not this one. I'm trying to find it for y'all guys. Bear with me really quick because I know it's going to show everything. Shout out to Kev Tech, man. He was in the chat earlier, but he's been killing it, bro. And like, for example, he's a person to mimic when it comes to, and let me zoom in. You guys probably can't see as good as y'all want to. He's a person to mimic when it comes to this LinkedIn stuff. He's got it down packed. He has way more. I got 8,600. Let's see what Kev got. Look at that. Kev's killing it. He's killing it, man. But I was trying to find, let's see. It was pretty cool because people just started liking my comment. But in so many words, somebody's talking about a job they got denied to. And I was telling them about, hey, oh, here it is right here. So this is cool. She put this out. This is a day ago. And look how many people like that. 530. 129 comments. So I just commented on here and said something like this. And so as we're talking, she says, let's get it to load up real quick. I don't want to do this. I want to just look at our replies. I don't want to see most irrelevant. This is stupid. All right. Anyway, I'm not going to go through this whole thing with you guys. But while I was talking, I was saying, yeah, a lot of companies have been doing that, talking to them throughout the years. They've been putting jobs on hold for Q1. And I knew this role was on hold because I actually was interviewing for it. So that's how I know that. But let's stop sharing. But with that being said, she ended up saying, well, hey, if there's any way I can help you, let me know. And that came from a regular conversation. So imagine if you start doing that and somebody knows you're trying to break in, they're gonna say, hey, if I can help you, let you know. I've been helping another guy. I'd seen Dewan share him one day and I seen that he had been open to work for a while, so I just started talking to him in the background, seeing what's going on with him, helped him out with resumes and you name it. So let's go back into this. Let's add this back to the stream. But that's pretty way, that's a simple way to network. And I can't, if I do another video, like I have my how I use LinkedIn to get SOC analyst roles videos on my YouTube channel. You can see that. I go a little bit more in depth with some of the things I do, but I'm going to remake that again next year to show you. I even fine tune even better ways to get interviews at some really good companies that I've worked on throughout the year that I'm going to show you guys. I just can't do it right now because some things I have to block out. I can't do too much for showing people faces or messaging and that stuff. So that's why I don't have that available right now. All right. So boom, we're on resumes, right? Resumes, we'll go back. It's just like it goes into your networking slash your profile. If they see it, do they like it? If I see this girl on Tinder, do I want to swipe right? Oh, nah, she's missing a tooth. I don't like that. It's all about how you dress it up. Dudes, show don't tell. have relevant skills to the job you're applying to. List accomplishments and achievements under your job experience. Show technical skills and projects that can be relevant to the role you're interested in. Don't make the resume too long. Don't include the job description on the resume, because I used to be guilty of this. I didn't know what to put, so I would just go to the job posting, take all that stuff, throw it under the job description on my resume. It didn't always help me out. Nobody's reading all that. Two, and it's not showing nothing. Don't stat pad or embellish too much. This goes for like adding a lot of skills that you probably don't really know how to talk about no more, adding all these different certs that may or may not be relevant to what you want to do. All right, so let's go. So right here, I actually want to show you guys. Let's see. Where is it? All right, let me open these up now. I can show them to y'all real quick. I'm going to do bad resume and then my resume. Or let me see something if I do it on brand. Hang on, y'all. I'm trying to try something out. All right, that don't matter no way. All right, let's do it like this. Yo, if you got questions, please leave them in the chat. I will answer them later. All right, cancel. One second, y'all. I did not know this is going to be. All right, one second. Dang it. All right. Man, I can't show y'all this because it's going to try to make me close it out. And do some stupid crap, which is dumb. But let me see something. All right, I know a way I could do this. And this may work. So I may, this might be showing my troubleshooting skills. Okay. Let's see if this works, y'all. All right, I'm just going to do it like this, and I'm going to take it down. This was a resume I did recently, and actually this guy is the person I was posting on my community tab. He's got those two big interviews, right, going to do vulnerability management. Initially, he was trying to do something else. But the reason why I blocked it out, and I would have been able to get more detail if I knew that it wasn't going to let me share the whole screen, and I guess Chrome lost the access to do it, I would have did it. But he has a summary on here, and it says, cybersecurity is my passion, challenging environments where I can apply my extensive knowledge to make a positive difference in the organization's security posture. I specialize in making a huge impact in a minimum amount of time. That really isn't that good. It's very, to me, I feel like it's unnecessary. I don't even have summaries on the resumes anymore, my resume or any resume I do. I feel like it's not needed. And we need this thing to be as short and concise as possible. And then right here, you see he has all these bullet points. It was a lot of stuff not filled with a lot of achievements. And his technical skills were too low. And so I ended up revamping that, and I put that stuff more to the top. I condensed everything down. I would say it helped him out like pretty fast. But this is an example of, and he has the months and the dates right here. So the month, I only had a years to make it not look as a short, to have my experience look a little longer. So let me show you something. Let me show you mine. And this is the first front page. All right. So for me, My career highlights will change based on the role I apply to. My technical skills, for the most part, don't change because they're kind of the same. Most of the roles I apply to have pretty much require the same skills. And you see that I have it like, hey, key project accomplishments. And yes, I only blocked out the first one because I don't really want y'all to know where I'm at now. But everyone on my LinkedIn knows what it currently says. But you see how I just have the 4 or 5, maybe I think it's like 6 down there. But I don't have too many bullet points under my job. It's like kind of high level, what did I do to be effective? Boom, and we on to the next one. The career highlights. That's just a totality of things I did that may speak to some stuff that's in the job description that I probably didn't put underneath my jobs because it'd be make it too long. Got my technical skills. You got to call it technical skills. They don't need to be on the bottom. When they browsing their resume, some of the first things they're looking for are those technical skills. Do you have that SIM experience? Do you know how to use Quest? Do you know PowerShell? Do you know how to use XOR? Like, they're looking at those things so they can see them. Okay, boom. I see this super quickly. We need to call this guy. And I can tell you, like, most of the time I send these resumes in, I get calls pretty fast. So that's just an example. And when I probably do this another time, you can see it again. So that's that. I kind of, like I did, showed and not told on my own resume. Let's go right here. All right. So the job search and interview process. This could be intimidating because it's a new arena for you. I suggest you get a good job search strategy. Only apply to roles. I got to fix that typo. Only apply to roles that fit some of your skill set. I say about 30 and 50%. If you're intentional with your job search process, you will have more results. And I want to show the bad example, but the bad example of that for me would be when I had to like 100 jobs tell me no. And I was just applying to all those jobs like back in the day on my old Excel sheet. And the reason why that was a bad job search strategy is because I tailored my resume for some of those, but not all of those. And some of those I didn't really meet the skill sets for, and I wasn't intentional with that. And that's the reason why I didn't get hit up from some of those. And some of those I did meet them, and it just didn't work out for me. Also, now when it comes to that, now it becomes to, how can I be proactive? So we're going to go back to that job that we saw the first time. And then I'm going to show you something, right? Because this is in the job search strategy. So, all right, let's share the screen. All right, if you're still with me, put a 2 or something in the chat. But I'm trying to help y'all out real quick. This is some stuff. This is some free game. Here we go. It's a free game. All right, boom. So let's say we saw this job and you want to apply for it. We got a couple of ways we can do this. We're going to try something this way first. All right, so we're going to go to Samsung Semiconductor page. We're going to look for people. So the first thing I'm going to do is probably this. Let's see what we get. Okay, so we didn't get anybody from that. Let's do this. So we got one person. So this could be potentially a person you can reach out to. You could send them a message, but that's only one. And they may be on a different, let's see if they're on a different like time zone. Really quickly. Okay, they're not. Okay. So they actually stay in San Jose. Yeah, because this job is on shift. So you can reach out to them the same way. You can connect, send a note. And maybe they respond, maybe they don't. Let's try another one. We got security operations analysts. So here's a trick. This one is a trick. I said I was going to show y'all this, but I'm going to show y'all this now. Let's go here because I want to show something really quick. All right. So what I'm looking for here is to see if this role falls under any team, if it falls under any certain team that will be known under a Samsung. So let's see. Got the pay range, COVID-19. These some good benefits. You'll start off with a month, paid off time a year, and holiday and sick leave. care for family. This is a good little policy right here, man. All right, so I do not. All right, so I don't see it here. But typically, sometimes they'll have whatever the team is on here, and you could put that in here, and you could find the person. And I probably could find some more people if I just did. Oh, oops. Y'all just got me talking. All right, my bad. I'm going to say this one time. My bad. So let me try to zoom in on this real quick. So typically what I do is I go on here and I try to see if I could find a team that this thing is on. Unfortunately, I did not see any acronym or anything like that for whatever team. So therefore, this wouldn't work. This strategy wouldn't work for this. However, you still always can do Old Faithful. And I'm going to share this tab instead. Let's go back here. So I already did one thing. The last thing I'm going to do is this. We got 52 employees of, say, SOC. So SOC design. This might be something different. But it doesn't hurt to look through this. All right, so that ain't gonna work. The last thing you could do is this. Go technical recruiter. And then sometimes these companies outsource their recruiting. But in this instance, look what we got. We got senior technical recruiters right here. Now, you don't want to stop there. This guy, we're going to see what he recruits for. Full cycle technical recruitment. Let's see if he can show what he's been posting for. I don't know how active he is. All right, so he hasn't really been posting a lot. But hypothetically, we're going to say that he is posting for security roles. So you can connect with him, and you can say, what's his name? Hello, Brian. And typically, I always say, I've recently applied to such and such role, blah, 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 blah. And I keep it short and sweet. And then sometimes when they accept the connection request, I reach back out and say, hey, thank you so much for accepting my connection request, apply to a blah, blah, blah job. And then one or two things will happen. They'll say, I'm not the recruiter that, but I know who is. Or they say, okay, give me a second, give me a resume for you. Or here's the link. Let's schedule some time to talk. All right. So let's go back on stream, y'all. All right, let's go back here. So back to, let me see what I have for interviewing. All right, so yeah, same thing. So continue. The first interviews will be rough because interviewing is a skill in itself. And believe me, another gem is to stay interviewing maybe every couple of months. Not because you're looking for a new job, but it helps your interview skills stay sharp too. You'll figure out what new skills that companies look for in the market that you can learn on your own. Therefore, if something happens at work, you've already two steps ahead of the game. You've already been working on new skills and you're still good at interviewing to where you can go somewhere else. Because some people have been at companies so long that their interview skills are so bad because they haven't had the interview in a while. They're a subject matter expert or whatever they've been working on, but just the interview skills are not that good anymore. And also, when you interview a lot, you kind of figure out early on what's going to be a good interview, what's going to be a bad interview. I remember I've had interviews where people saying, hey, I like your content, man. I've checked out some of your content. I think it's really dope. I've had people use my podcast intro sometimes as icebreakers. So that told me, okay, this is going to be a good one. They want to talk to me. They're not finna drill me. And so that comes with time. That's something you learn. And here's a big one. In an interview, it's okay to say, I don't know that, or I can get you that answer, later. Don't stumble on stuff too long to where they already know you don't know it. and you know you don't know it. Know what you don't know and just tell them, hey, it's cool, I don't know. And they say, that's cool, it's fine. It's all right. Be honest. And that also comes with being honest on your resume. If you're honest on your resume, 9 out of 10, they may not ask you too many questions that you don't know. They may ask you something about the job. And I've had this happen. Like, it's be something, a function of the job that's not my strong set. And I've said, you know, that I would say when it comes to a weakness, that would be my weakness. I don't have that much experience in that area. However, based on my background, I didn't have experience doing a lot of things. But once I got my hands on them, I became very good at doing that for my job. So those are things I've said. I always pivoted back onto what I've learned and what I've proved throughout my career to show that I have the aptitude to learn something new. And not only that, I mean, I did this before too. After interviews, it was something I knew that I need to work on. I came back with a thank you letter and said, hey, I've even researched, you know, I looked up a course learning this to where, you know, if I'm chosen for this role, you know, I could be ready to go because I took the time to learn this new skill on my own. Trust me, it's helped out. You can find out stuff like that in the Patreon. If you want to join the Patreon, if you want to support the show, by all means, join the Patreon. Let's see, where is it? Yeah, just join the Patreon. All right. So once you land a role, it doesn't stop there. You have to keep working. You have to get your skills better in order. And I'm not going to go through a long thing or what you're going to do that because I can't. But if you'd like to know that, you can check out my Advanced Cybersecurity course on LinkedIn. It's in the description of this video. So on the replay, you can click there or you can check it out and in my many of my links to where if you're already in cybersecurity, and you don't even have to be in cybersecurity, any job, the stuff that I talked about in that course can translate to any job to where you can get ahead in your career. All right, now let's go for questions. Shout out to my guy, E. Thomas. I see some questions earlier.
Okay.
Hey, shout out to Damien for that. Yeah, yeah. When I was saying, let me show some of these. When I said technical skills were too low, that meant they were too low on the resume, not like he doesn't have technical skills. That guy had a lot of technical skills, which led him to get interviews for vulnerability management analyst positions. So he had skills. He just wasn't marketing them correctly and putting them up there enough for them to see that he had good skills. And also on resumes, I prefer to do like this. Heading, technical skills, or career highlights, technical skills, job experience, education, then certification. Certifications at the bottom. Those are some of the things that they really don't care about. If you ask people who've been interviewing recently, certs are some of the last things they ask you about because it's not that important to veterans. They want to know, hey, do you know how to do this? Can you help us solve our problems? What does it say? What if you have several promotions with one company? Do you just list the current position with bullet points? So you could do, I've had to do this before. Like I have the company name and then I'll have the certain roles bolded with bullet points under the roles with the year they did it. But I wouldn't do past, like, I don't have all my experience on my resume right now. It starts at 2018 on up right now because I'm trying not to go past 5 years because then it'll be super long. I'll be going back all the time. So if it's just within like a 5-year time frame or something like that or longer, is cool. But you just don't want to get super long where it's just drawn out the whole time. Try to put the parts of the job that'll be more relative to your job search. All right. Answer Thomas said, I want to get into cybersecurity. I'm scheduled to take Security Plus in February. I want to work as an incident handler. Would you recommend GCIH or CIH for next cert? I would not recommend either. I would recommend you knowing actually how to handle incidents, how to do incident response. I would recommend you learning that before just going for the cert. So knowing the practical things to look for in an incident, whether what incident it is. It's not going to say you're going to learn everything, but that's going to make you a little bit more effective than you just trying to go rush out there and get the certs and hoping to get called back just because you have those acronyms on your resume. Yeah, man, that was help this, man. How do you feel about blue team level 1 as first cert? It can go that way. I mean, I'll base it off of someone's ability of what they already understand, right? If you have a good knowledge of a skill set of understanding like cybersecurity stuff, and really when it comes to understanding computers just in general, by all means, go. Just make sure you understand the other fundamental things, because as simple as what I just did just now to get a workaround to figure out how to show you guys those resumes, a lot of people don't have a background of just understanding how to make stuff work on computers, and it kind of hurts them. And so when you don't have a lot of experience to pull from, it's, you know, imperative that you do have foundational skills and other things to round out your experience. That's why I'm always like big proponent, like, hey, people who did work help desk going to be good in security because they know these different things. They know what they've seen people use PS exec for. So if they see somebody use a PS exec, they're like, they're going to make them, if this normal, if this not normal, then that's when the light bulb can go off and they're going to start going. I work with people that didn't really have that experience. What's the best way to condense the work you've done and list reputable employment all on one page? It depends on how much experience you got, to be honest. You can go to two, right? You can go to two. You can go past that. But honestly, it's really like what'll be relative for the role. Like if it's an entry-level role, you know, you don't really need a three-page resume. Like I said, it needs to be concise. On average, recruiters spend 6 or 7 seconds when they review resumes. So why make them read all that stuff to sometimes not even clearly show that you had the skills to do the job? So the best way is, hey, get 4 or 5 bullet points that show achievements that will be relative to the job posting and on each role, and try to keep that to 1 or 2 pages and with relative technical skills and go from there. I already answered that one. How many jobs portion? Okay. Labs and rooms that I complete. So I did this in the past. I used to use like labs kind of like as related coursework. So it could be a related coursework section if the labs kind of line up with some skills that will be needed, but you know, like you don't really have the skills just yet, but you could say you can use it kind of like a related coursework because you do get like certificates for those. So that's how I would do it. Now, if it came to a project, I'll actually name it like a project and list it out in high level what the project did. And not, you can get detailed, but not super detailed where it's super long. Just get detailed enough with the bullet points where you got it broken down or what happened on it. And then in the interview is when you can get more detailed on it. And that's when you show that enthusiasm to captivate that interviewer or why they should hire you. That was Lisa. Okay, let's see this one. Good evening. Speaking of transferable skill sets, any recommendations you would have for someone who has been in tech for 22 years but wants to tap into cybersecurity? It depends. I don't have necessarily specific recommendations for you. I would say we would have to assess your skill set, what jobs you're interested in, and see what type of transferable skills pair well with that role. And if you need help with that, I can help you with that, because a lot of times I have people say, oh, I want to go do red team. Oh, I want to go do this and that. And I'm like, am I doubting you can do it? No. But do I know of an easier way? Yes. And I'm always for the easier way to get in, because once you get in, you might find out you actually like what you got into versus you trying to do something that you may not, you know, like you just thought it was cool to do. Because that's why I see a lot of times people want to come to me do red team. I was like, you do know red team is cool, but it's probably not what you think it is because you've never had a chance to do it. All you see is the dude with the hoodie on going in. It's much more to it than that. Can I still excel in the field if I'm a slow learner? Been studying for the SEC plus for around 6 months now. Okay. So my question for you is, what's the date that you have scheduled to take it? Because I would say the only way you're probably a slow learner is because you have not made a date to take it. So there's no sense of urgency in your studying. So I would say make a date to take it and then come back to me and still see if you feel like a slow learner. It may just be you're overstudying right now, and right now you don't really know what to study, or you feel like you don't know it. But if you put a time limit on there and do that, you'll be much more successful. That's the best advice I always give everybody. When they say they want to get a cert, I say, okay, book when you want to take the test. Make yourself stay accountable for studying. I have a degree in computer science. I want to get a job as a SOC analyst. Is the blue team level one good practice as a SOC analyst? Yes, it is. It is definitely good practice. But you can also do a lot of other things to get practice as well with your home labs and practicing and just staying up to date. Shout out to you, bro. Let's see. Shout out to you, Indigo Gaming. Nice. A shout out to Crypto Packy Zero. They just passed the C2 cybersecurity certification. My guy Kev Tech was through here. He showed some love. Let's see. I'm trying to see, make sure I got every question. I know some that probably people just, and shout out to them, Samples Coop. All right, let me get down here. What's this say? What's your opinion on Staffing First, like Cap, Gemini, Insight Global? They could, you can, they could be good. Like I said, I got my start doing working for Apex, and contracting is good to a point where you're single. When you are not single, have a family, their benefits aren't as good as being a full-time employee. So I just say do it at your own discretion, but it still can give you relevant work experience anyway. Kira says, currently interning in information security. What would say is the next step? I don't know. What do you want to do? Are you trying, is your next step to get a role? Are you trying to get a role at that company? Or, you know, what's the actual role you're interning with now? Let's go to your next question. Would you say rush, get the security plus, or really take your time and learn and then go for it? Or just get a degree ASAP and reread to better understand later? I covered this earlier, but I would say, based on the job you want to land, since you were talking about your interning earlier, make sure you keep learning the skills to do that role. The certs could be secondary. I mean, sometimes that HR filters, but unless you're trying to go government route, you don't necessarily just need the certs. They can definitely be beneficial because they help you be fresh, but just studying it, like the reason why I like certs, but I'm going to get some sometimes because when they're not practical, you can study for like 2 weeks sometimes, cram it down and pass it. But sometimes you didn't really take anything away from that studying. And so my goal is to make sure you took something away from it, because I'm just going to reiterate all these different breaches and the things that happen. When they happen fast. Life comes at us hard. So you got to know how to deal with these things. If you don't, it will show up. You can't hide in cybersecurity, I'm telling you. And plus, interviews have gotten harder since 2020 because of so much faking and shaking people have been doing, getting people to interview for them and different things like that. It's been a total mess. We got Angel Gonzalez. Should I go to college for cybersecurity? You can, but if your intent is to actually learn, I would say figure out what you want to do first. See if you can learn those skills a different way. See if you can get an entry-level job before just going to college for cybersecurity, to where you can get active experience and you can get them to pay for school and you can still learn for cybersecurity. So by the time you're done, you already have enough time and your skills get an equity to where you can go get a mid-level role opposed to trying to do entry-level. I had my GCIH for several years before I really started doing it. Learn fundamentals first. Exactly. Exactly. Like I'm saying, you can go get the cert, but when they get to asking you questions, like I could post, and I'm going to do this right now for you guys. Let me go find it for y'all. I have these SOC analyst questions, right? So a lot of people come to me, they want to be SOC analysts. And so I give them these questions to assess what they know. And so I'm gonna put them in the chat for you guys. All right, here's the chat. So feel free to answer those, guys, if you want to. If you're looking to be a SOC analyst, I'll review them one day. One day I'm going to probably do a live stream and review those answers and questions. Me and my guy, ET, and probably CyberRev. That's going to be like a live stream we do. It's going to be like SOC talk. And then we're just going to review those and give our different thoughts and opinions on if you're close to the right answer or you need to go learn some more. We got him. What about CCNA for cybersecurity as certification? CCNA is cool. CCNA has definitely put you ahead of a lot of people just because of having that networking background. So you definitely need to know, you definitely need to understand networking, especially if you want to, I didn't even touch moving into the cloud, but if you want to go into the cloud, networking is going to be key to understand. I just transitioned and landed a help desk job. I don't want to be stuck there long as I took a pay cut to get in. Any recommendations on what I should focus on to stand out and be more marketable? Depends on what you want to do. I did help desk. I always say do help desk maybe 6 months, maybe a year. It can get repetitive fast, but make connections there, network there, see who works with different departments, see if you can move around in the company too. A lot of people are so quick sometimes to try to go externally that they forget that you could possibly move around in the company easier. Now, sometimes they get a little harder based on you've been there a while, or companies sometimes give you false promises. Sure, we'll move you around. And then you're still in your role for like 6 months until you finally move to the next role to where they possibly didn't give you a raise sometimes. Now, that's sometimes. Don't let me be a Debbie Downer to you, but I'm just telling you. But to be more remarkable, learn the skills that you want to learn, that you need to know for the job you want to do. How big of a jump is it from IR analyst to an incident response manager? It just would depend on what that manager is responsible for. Of course, you're going to have people reporting to you. So I'll probably preface this with two things. You may be asking me about me. I did incident response management, which isn't the same as IR manager. But being the actual manager is you have people under you and you have to make sure they're on their goals and you have to make sure they're being productive and you got to make sure you're meeting with the director. You probably have a lot more meetings than being an individual contributor. So if you don't want to do a lot of meetings and use more of your soft skills, I would suggest staying an individual contributor because Zoom fatigue is real. I have an information security internship interview. Any tips on behavior questions? I haven't gotten a lot of behavior questions recently. I got some sites I probably can send you where they want to ask you, oh, tell us why you want to work for us. Tell me about yourself. Tell us about a time you had to solve a complex problem or you had an issue with a teammate and how'd you solve it? Stuff like that. It's pretty easy to answer. And it's always good. Now, granted, if you don't have a lot of experience with that, try to pull from a class project or something. Or if you have extracurricular activities, try to pull from that to show how you work past an issue you may have had with someone else, your coworker. Yep, feeder positions and experience are super important. Yep, I agree with that. Okay, yeah, I answered your thing, Andrew. I had to work backwards. How do you feel about TriHackMe? I talked about it recently. TriHackMe is good. It's foundational. It has a lot of stuff. You don't have to set up anything because you can just do it there. But the thing with TriHackMe is TriHackMe shows you how to do it their way. And there are a million different ways to do things. So I always say, don't limit yourself just to TriHackMe. But it can be beneficial just to have some foundational skills and then build upon those. Like, you know, I said I've been doing the Splunk rooms. And I had to delete my Ubuntu instance. But what I did one day was I just downloaded Ubuntu, downloaded Splunk, set that up. And then I set up all the, I think it was the Boss or the SOC V2 data set. So I installed that and did all the add-ons and put it in my environment. That could be a project where you did that. Hey, this is what I did. This is my project. And I set it up. I did this. So I had to learn how to start. I had to learn how to access it from the browser. But yeah, take those skills and put them into something that's going to be meaningful for you when it comes to interviewing. Let's see. Are boot camps valued in 2023? Yes, they still are. I forgot to touch on boot camps because I touched on boot camps briefly in my book, which I need to revise. But boot camps still can be beneficial. My advice for boot camps is the same thing that I'll give to anybody that's trying to further their education. It's like just research it. Look at real testimonials. If they're promising you a lot of money in a short amount of time, I would probably move away from it because most of them, like these boot camps aren't cheap at all. So if they're trying to, you have to pay a lot. And then like it's one person and I got some people that's did his thing, but I seen one of his videos today saying, hey, you can have a high paying career in 60 days. I just don't really agree with that. I know it's marketing the keyword. Cause he can say, I didn't promise that. I said you could, but it's implied that means, hey, if you get with me in 60 days, you're going to have a high paying cybersecurity career. And I just can't get with that because it can be hard. I've worked with people that's got stuff the next week, the next month. And I work with people that's took them a while. So that's why I don't make any promises like that because I'm just realistic. But yeah, I would just say research the boot camps. I may do that and research some good boot camps. That way I can actually spread out for when it comes to cybersecurity. What is it? Per Scala or something like that. It's some that I've worked with some people that did something that were decent, that gave them a good foundation. So yeah, that's how I feel about boot camps. Let's see. We got, what is your advice for non-US professionals trying to get into tech? I do not have a lot of advice for non-US professionals because I would say you have to look for a role that says you can work anywhere. So one is like the difference is some nuance is sometimes it's remote and then some of them are like work from anywhere. I think that's like the distinction to look for. I would say the same thing would be to network. Find out what companies are friendly with working in the country that you're currently in. And that'll probably be my way of telling you to navigate that trying to break into tech because that'll be the way for you to get in, honestly, without me trying to just sell you something. Like actually just ask around with people that are doing what you want to do. So you could probably make a post about that and people will probably will bite on it and hit you up. Okay. Yeah, I don't know any. There may be some pen testing boot camps. I do know TCM has the, what is it, PNPT? I think that was written by Heath Adams. And I believe it is a, let me see. Let me share the screen for this since we were talking about it. All right, Practical Network Penetration Tester Certification. So I would look into this over trying to go spend money on a boot camp, man. I think they give you a retake too. Students will have 5 days to complete the assessment and an additional 2 days. I think they have a course for this too. This is good. Like, look at us. Look at us. How, when I tell you to research things, look at this. It says, in order to receive the certification, a student must perform OSINT to gather intel on how to properly attack the network, leverage their Active Directory exploitation skill sets to perform AV and egress, bypassing lateral and vertical network movements, and ultimately compromise the exam domain controller. Provide a detailed, professionally written report. And this is the one that people don't realize you got to do a lot in red teaming, that they might not like the reporting. Perform a 15-minute report debrief in front of our assessors, compromise of all senior penetration testers. See? So, hey, this would be the much better deal for you, man. Seriously, look into this. And I'll put it into the chat. So I hope this helps you out, man. Joseph. Let me see. We got Robinson. Is it possible to get a security engineer job as your first job in cybersecurity? It is. And I'm going to sound like a broken record. It just depends on what you're trying to do and what type of cybersecurity engineer role that is. Because some companies will call you an engineer, but you're not actually an engineer. You might be named an engineer so they could justify paying you more, but you might not actually be doing security engineering. But it'd be the same thing. They have entry-level cybersecurity engineer. With cybersecurity engineer, you probably have to know how to script more and maybe code more versus more of an analyst route. But you should be able to do that. You can find entry-level. I say entry-level is always 0 to 2 years experience. So that's why if you do go to college, interning is like pretty big in my opinion. So you can have that experience. So you can have people that can actually recommend you. And that's something else I didn't talk about that I may show y'all really quick on my LinkedIn really quick. I got somebody messaging me right now. Let me show y'all this real quick. All right, guys. I want to show y'all something that is an equalizer that I forgot to show y'all about really quickly. And how y'all feeling about this live stream, man? I said next year I'm going to live stream a lot. I have a good deal from StreamYard. They gave me a good deal, so I'm going to get my money's worth. All right. So I didn't talk about this earlier, and I meant to talk about this. Recommendations. Who recommends you and who you work with matters. Talk to him later. So this is why this is my old manager. She's a director now with my old company. So the stuff that I say in interviews always also matches up with this, right? You know my guy Dave Cyberwalks. We work together. He was a guy, he worked across from me, but now he's a manager there. Let me see if I show anybody else, right? I'm just gonna try to like show people I worked with. Me and Tayon Tech work together. You know what I'm saying? And this is my old manager, old coworkers. But this is similar to, you know when they want to ask you for references on a resume? That's all it is. Good night, bro. Let's see. Jimmy says, I've been trying to get in for a year now. I have SecPlus, AWS, and GitHub full of projects. Still no good looks. It's like I have to have a Nobel Prize to get a job. Jimmy Wilkerson, please reach out to me here. Use this link right here, man. I'm telling you, bro. I'm going to put my Calendly link in here for you to get, so you can get you a resume done. I don't know. I have it broken down for mid-level, entry-level, senior-level for resumes and like career coaching stuff. Like, use that, bro. I got you. If you got that much stuff going on and you can't get a job, that means that you might not be selling yourself the best. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. I know how to do that because I was a person that wasn't selling myself the best, but I know how to do it because I got experience, but I always constantly doing this. Okay. PR says, I've been trying to get my resume to a point where I can convey my cyber-related skills from my help desk assist admin experience. Not sure why I'm having such a hard time with that. I can help with that, too. If you ever seen Hoes, hey, I can fix that. I can help you with that. I've helped plenty of people go from help desk to go into cybersecurity because they've been doing a lot of cybersecurity things, you know. And if also, and that's something me and Kev Tech might do a future video on, is talking about going from help desk to cybersecurity because he's recently made that transition. So that's what we'll be talking about. Let's see. Yep. Kevin Foster's right about that. I don't know. I do need to revise the ebook. I don't know when the next one is. I got some ideas. I also thought about getting into like some kid books to maybe make a little miniature version of myself, be like some type of, I don't know, man. I got a whole bunch of ideas that things I always thought about when I was a kid that I'm saying, hey, I can do this as an adult now. But we shall see. Get the boot camp curriculum and learn those topics on your own. That's a good idea too. That's a good idea too. Is going to a CNT trade school a good route to go? I don't, and I might be, I'm not even familiar with CNT, so I don't know. What's your input on the stress level in cybersecurity? Also, how's work-life balance? Thanks. And actually, that's a good video. I've made videos about that before. I've talked about it before with some professionals. It's like, work-life balance can be good, but depending on your role in cyber, you have a role that is at any given time, it could be an incident or something like that. So you have to like be all hands on deck. It could be stressful if it's a lot going on. If you're a company like, I was getting very, very busy before I left Goldman Sachs. That was an incident management role because incidents are happening all the time. If your company or vendor you use has your company's data at risk, you can be busy. So it could be stressful. You could be, you know, manpower, alert fatigue. It's a lot of stuff that goes in there, but I'm glad that gave me another video idea to where I'm going to do some research and put it together for people so they can know. So they say they need millions of positions filled, but you have to apply for 100 jobs to get 3 or 4 interviews if you did not go to college for it. It's like trying to walk on an NFL team. Jimmy, I actually debunked that. I did like do entry-level cybersecurity roles exist? I debunked that they're lumping a lot of different roles in with cybersecurity roles, and that's why they're trying to make it like an influx of roles. There are plenty of roles, but it's not as many as they're saying, because I said if it was 3 or 4 million, they'd just be giving people jobs. So that's why I've kind of debunked that. I'm going to try to get to the rest of these questions and probably end up ending this. If we're talking about SOC analysts, what would be the best place to start? Fundamentals, Windows, Linux, networking, knowing how to sift through logs, triage concepts, learning maybe even like, now here's where a benefit of something like TryHackMe is. If you've learned some red team stuff, you know what to look for when you are defending on a blue team. So that's why TryHackMe can be beneficial. It can help you out with learning some of those attacks. Just being familiar with the cloud, learning things about how email works, phishing. Pretty much, I would probably say that would be a good foundational starting point, you know, without getting like super deep. I think that would be good enough for you to have a good set of skills that you could actually go apply to a role. TCM Academy, dope. Let's see. Okay, yeah. Yep. The pen test support is where most companies fail. How marketable would you be if you had experience with Splunk, Enterprise Security, and SOAR, not the admin side, power user side? You should be fine. So you're saying you know how to use Splunk and Phantom? You're going to be very marketable. So many companies don't even have automation in place that you're going to be marketable. I recently have like talked to companies in interviews are saying how I've used SOAR before and how it could be beneficial in your SOC response to help mitigate some of those minuscule tasks that your team does to pretty much help them benefit from making like a lot of those little careless errors and mistakes. So definitely very beneficial. Yep, that's a good one. I don't want cybersecurity to become overcrowded like how you guys overcrowded the help desk during the pandemic, bro. That's sounding very gatekeeper-esque. And I will also tell you it won't be overcrowded because there are new attack vectors and new things opening up to where there are going to be millions of jobs open, like autonomous vehicles. There are companies working on a lot of autonomous vehicles to where they're going to have cybersecurity for those cars to keep them safe. You got wearable clothes. What is it, like OCS, whatever Ericsson is called. You have the Internet of Things, all these smart home devices. It's going to be in healthcare. Like, it's going to be a boom. It's still going to be more jobs created, so it's not going to get overcrowded. In fact, everyone needs to learn it so they can make sure they have a job. Also, they're not hiring enough help desk people because you're always talking to a robot when you try to call in with issues. But that's just me.
Let's see. Yeah,
that's a high-level question. So skills, obviously, like learn about automation. I used to see a lot of people learn how, like, well, ChatGPT can help with a lot of stuff. But automation, learning about coding, or some coding, scripting. What I saw, Ansible, Terraform, Chef, all those different things, learning about those. Yeah, I think those would be some good skills to look into. Learn about Web3, learn about blockchain, where, like, finance and how payments and stuff are going, PCI, all those different things, protecting stuff like that. Those are good skills to look into. I broke into cybersecurity by going back to a company I previously worked at in the sales role. In that situation, they already know you. Thank you. Hey, that's a big one right there. That's a big one right there. You can always go back. That's why I always say don't leave a company on a bad terms, because you can always go back. You know, when you're interviewing with a new company, they can't really speak to who you are, even though you're selling a good product. But if you go back to somewhere you used to work, that's even better. Kevin Foster. No, gatekeeping definitely does exist. It's in different ways. I know you want to, it's nuanced to say like from every job, but it's definitely exists because in some form or fashion, a lot of this information wasn't available to people that look like me and other communities coming out of school. So that is a form of gatekeeping because the knowledge was not shared. You had to figure it out. Like there was no, all these different channels and stuff that exist, they weren't here to help us. So, and there are people that's probably just keeping you out of the role anyway, knowing you'll be a good fit. Like, so gatekeeping does exist in some form, regardless if it's every job. But that's my opinion of what I experienced as well. All right. Well, I didn't got to all the questions. Hope I answered everything, guys. If I don't see you guys again before the new year, I want to tell you Happy New Year. I got some big things coming up. Like I said, I'm definitely going to be very, very much active. I'm probably going to try to go live once or twice a week, including with podcasts as well as cybersecurity news. I'm going to do a lot of cybersecurity news or just covering some things. Adam Dorsey will search matter in 2023. I mean, yeah, search for always have a place, but that's not going to always be the sole thing of why you get a job. But yeah, man, I appreciate y'all. Share this out to people who need to see it, who are trying to break into cybersecurity. If you're watching this on a replay, I will have this slideshow available for download in the description once everything is finished. So yeah, man, I appreciate y'all. And like I said, like I always say, let's stay textual. And I'm out.